بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last time we met, we were discussing what Allah Azza wa Jal had prepared for the disbelievers and those who transgress. Allah says in Surah An-Naba, verse 21 onwards, truly, hell is a place of ambush. So hell is a creature. Hell is something that was created by Allah Azza wa Jal. It has feelings. It does what Allah tells her to do. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this magnificent yet horrific creature is existing today. And the whereabouts of it is an issue of dispute among scholars. Some say that it is in the middle of the earth. Others say that it is way down, but we do not know where, because we know that paradise and Jannah is way up. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that hellfire on the Day of Judgment would have 70,000 leashes. With each leash, there is 70,000 angels dragging it. So you can imagine how huge this structure, this creature is. And it will be an ambush. It will anticipate, it will wait for those who are tahoon, as Allah says in verse 22, a dwelling place for the tahoon. And who are the tahoon? We've explained that. Those who transgress. Whether disbelievers or believers, they will be punished in hell. They will abide therein for ages, as Allah says, Azza wa Jal. Nothing cool shall they taste therein, nor any drink, except boiling water and dirty wound discharges, an exact recompense according to their evil crimes. For verily, what are their crimes? One, they used not to look for a reckoning. And we address this issue, and that the majority of us, even among the Muslims, fail to acknowledge this point, fail to recognize and realize that there will come a day that they are held accountable in. But they belied our ayat completely. So among their sins, among the things that they'll be punished for, is they're falsifying Allah's signs, whether universal or religious. And if you recall, Allah Azza wa Jal's ayat has two meanings. One is the verses of the Quran, and this is the religious ayat. So it's a plural of an ayah, which is a verse of the Quran. And the second meaning is the signs, the magnificent, miraculous signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in the universe. So the stars are an ayat. The sun is an ayah. The moon is an ayah. The whole universe is an ayah. There are so many in our own bodies that are signs indicating towards the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, the magnificence of Allah the Almighty. And all things we have recorded in a book. So these transgressors, these tahoon, they belied, they did not hope for a day of reckoning. And to add to all of this, they neglected the fact that every single thing is recorded in a book. And this is the most scary part. When you forget things, Allah Azza wa Jal never forgets them. When you neglect things, you'll find it on the Day of Judgment recorded. Every single thing, every glance you looked at, everything you heard with your ears, every single letter that came out of your mouth. Everything is recorded. And not only that, you'll be held accountable for it. If it's good, you will be rewarded. And if it's evil, you will be punished. And the weight on the day of judgment that things are scaled by and weighed by are the good deeds. So good deeds overweighs your bad deeds. Inshallah, you're in paradise. The opposite, the other way around, you'll be punished in hell until you're purified, providing that you are a Muslim. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, so taste you the result of your evil actions, no increase shall we give you except in torment. And this is one of the most scary verses in the Quran. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Taste. We shall not increase you in anything except in torment. So sit back, relax, stretch your legs, and think. You are in a horrible place, so dark that you cannot see a thing. It is so hot that each part of your body, each particle, is suffering from the heat, from the torture. You feel hot, you need something to cool down, you don't find anything. You're so thirsty, you want something to drink. You're given boiling water and a discharge coming from the wounds of the people of hellfire and coming from all the dirty things you can think of. This is the only thing that you can drink in hellfire. And every time you think that this is about it, you'll find that there is more to come. When you drink the boiling water, it tears your guts. And you drink more and more, and it never takes your thirst away. The flesh is burnt, yet Allah restores it once again so that you can feel the pain over and over again. And whenever you try to look for an escape, you see an opening. And you think that, this is it. I'm going to break out. And once you go there, you find that it was a mirage and that you're still in more and more pain, torment, and agony. And whenever you think that you've reached the max, and there couldn't be anything worse than this, Allah Azza wa Jal tells those who are in hell, so taste you, no increase shall we give you except in torment. And this depresses them more and more, and it adds insult to injury. Physical injury, physical torment, plus this mental torture that they get. And this is only fair because they have been warned. And Allah Azza wa Jal has showed them the way. Allah Azza wa Jal has given them everything that would help them to be guided. It was them who refused it. It came to their doorsteps. People gave them da'wah and called them to virtue and righteousness. They were shown the light, yet they preferred darkness. And in exchange, this is their punishment on the hereafter. What are the benefits of these verses that we've read? First of all, it shows you what would happen to those who transgress, to those who go beyond what they were told to do. And no one can claim that, listen, I'm free, I have a free will. We have the freedom of speech, we can do whatever we want. No, you cannot. Even if they fool you and tell you that, yes, this is protected by our constitution. We can do whatever we want. We can say whatever we want. And this is not true. There are boundaries, even in this world, even in their laws. There are things you cannot cross. And the greatest law of all is the law of Allah Azza wa Jal. You are not free to do whatever you want because you are a slave. He created you. He put boundaries for you. You cannot cross. And if you do cross, now you know what awaits you in hell. Allah created you to worship Him, to follow his revelation, to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that only calls people to goodness. Now, if you fail to comply, if you fail to obey, then this is what will happen to you. In the verses, Allah Azza wa Jal is showing us the punishment of those who belie His signs and ayat. Allah Azza wa Jal is showing us what will happen to those who say that there is no day of judgment, who falsify the fact that there will be a day of reckoning. And we've heard clear verses of the Quran that leaves no doubt for anyone who has a free will, who is freed from being biased, who's blessed by Allah to be objective and able to see. Among the points that Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us in these beautiful verses, that those who do well will be rewarded, and those who do evil acts will be punished. Not only that, that everything has been written down. Everything is recorded. Nothing is going to be forgotten. And if there were to be things neglected, they are neglected with knowledge. Meaning that Allah is so merciful, He does not want to embarrass His servant. In the authentic hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal, on the Day of Judgment, would question an individual. And Allah Azza wa Jal would cover that individual from the people so that they would not see him. And Allah would tell him about the bad things he did in this life, but he would only begin with the small and minor things. So he said, "My servant, you did this on that day, you did this on that day." And the servant says, "Yes, I did." He could not deny it. He confesses, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did." And once he feels that he's about to be doomed, Allah the Almighty, with His favor, blessing and mercy, says to him, "My servant, as I've concealed your sins in the dunya, in this life, on earth, I will conceal them on the Day of Judgment, and I will change them into good deeds." There are other points that we can learn from these ayat, but we have a short break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Among the points that Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us in these beautiful verses, that those who do well will be rewarded, and those who do evil acts will be punished. Not only that, that everything has been written down. Everything is recorded. Nothing is going to be forgotten. And if there were to be things neglected, they are neglected with knowledge. Meaning that Allah is so merciful, He does not want to embarrass His servant. In the authentic hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal, on the Day of Judgment, would question an individual. And Allah Azza wa Jal would cover that individual from the people so that they would not see him. And Allah would tell him about the bad things he did in this life, but he would only begin with the small and minor things. So he said, "My servant, you did this on that day, you did this on that day." And the servant says, "Yes, I did." He could not deny it. He confesses, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did." And once he feels that he's about to be doomed, Allah the Almighty, with His favor, blessing and mercy, says to him, "My servant, as I've concealed your sins in the dunya, in this life, on earth, I will conceal them on the Day of Judgment, and I will change them into good deeds." How merciful Allah is, and how greedy the servant is. When he recognizes that he's been saved, that he has been spared, not only that, that Allah Azza wa Jalla changes his bad deeds into good deeds, then his greed comes. And if you're not greedy with Allah, who will you be greedy with? So he says, "Oh Allah, I have so many big sins, major sins that I don't see here." And Allah the Almighty laughs of this, because Allah Azza wa Jal is so merciful, is so kind, is so caring and loving, subhanahu Azza wa Jal. So every single thing would be recorded. But the Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is sort of display of the deeds, not holding people accountable. So the display of deeds means that Allah will forgive and Allah Azza wa Jal would admit them to paradise. But when Allah holds a servant accountable for each and everything, he will be tormented, he will be put in hell. مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابِ عُذِّبْ. Whoever Allah Azza wa Jal holds accountable for every single thing in his records, he will be punished. But the display itself, no, this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives. Also, in these verses, we see the establishment again and again of the aqeedah of resurrection and of being rewarded or punished for your deeds. Now remember, the Prophet ﷺ had spent 13 years in Mecca calling people for this aqeedah, to know and acknowledge that you will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment and you would not be left unaccounted for. You will be summoned and you will be held accountable for every single deed you had done. And also we learn from these verses that the torment on the Day of Judgment is endless. It is forever and it does not end. It is for eternity. And this is a big problem. See, how long are you going to live on earth? The best of us, if they say that we reach the age of 80, well, wow, we've got it made. And if you go to those who are 80 years old, and you say, uncle, how long do you think you're going to live longer? And he says, I heard that there are some people up north, and they've reached 105. So, and if you go up north and ask the people who have reached 105, how long do you think they're going to live? They say, of course they've lost their teeth, that we've heard of Nuh, and he lived like 950 years calling his people to Islam. It never ends. You always think that you're going to live for eternity, and the minute you die, you discover that you have lived for nothing compared to what awaits you of eternity, the real eternity in heaven or in hell. And that is why you should be wise. You should not throw away eternity, eternal life in paradise for a few lousy years on earth. You should utilize it. You should make the best of it. And the best of it brings you the best in this life as well. Being righteous and pious is not a bad thing. It gives you the tranquility and the peace of heart and mind. And this is what every single person should look for, strive to do and to attain. Moving on to the final phase of the surah. And this is when Allah Azza wa Jal talks about what He has prepared for the people of Jannah, the people of Paradise. And this is the norm in the Quran. It's called Mathani, which means that everything comes in doubles. So if you speak about hell, you will find verses speaking about Paradise comparison. If Allah talks about those who do good deeds, the believers, the righteous people, you'll find Allah Azza wa Jal immediately afterwards talking about the people of hell, those who do evil deeds. When Allah talks about males, He talks about females. When talking about old, we talk about the young. So there is always a comparison between two things in the Quran. And this shows you that you have to live on earth with this in your heart, fearing Allah and hoping for what Allah has for you. Without the balance, you will not be able to live a righteous and good life. If you fear Allah so much, you fall into despair. You will give up hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. But if you, on the other hand, wish hopefully in what Allah has and always consider Allah's forgiveness and mercy rather than His punishment and torment, shaitan would lead you to overdo it and to be heedless, careless about sins or about doing obligatory deeds. And this is the balance. We have the Khawarij who felt that Allah would never forgive them. So they spent the whole night praying, the whole day fasting, yet their minds were tilted, their minds were diverted from the straight path. So they ended up killing righteous people, killing Muslims, and thinking that one sin would make them forever in hell. Then they lost hope. And on the other side, you have who are known as al-Murji'a. And these people say, no matter what sin you do, Allah would forgive. No matter how many obligatory and mandatory acts you neglected, Allah Azza wa Jal would still forgive you as long as you do not associate others with Allah. And both cults are not from Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They are all deviant. You have to have this balance. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the people of hell. Immediately afterwards, He mentions the people of paradise to give you hope while threatening you not to be from the people of hell. Now, from verse 31 onwards, Allah talks about the reward of the people of paradise. May Allah Azza wa Jal make you and me among those who are fortunate to enter paradise. But I'm afraid that we don't have enough time remaining with us in this episode. So, inshallah, we will try to elaborate a little bit more on the remaining of these beautiful verses next time we meet. And if Allah wills, we will move on to the following surah. So, until then, I leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.